Nation, and we're back. It's me, Aisha, Harriet, Oren, Alex. Say hello.
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 So let's talk about stuff. Anime. The
Oh yeah, we were
anime. We
supposed to be
totally watched anime
talking
this
about
week.
this.
The first one is Your Lie in April, which is based on a manga, illustrated by Naoshi Arakawa. It's another music-based one since we were talking about concerts a minute ago. Link. So, Piano Prodigy Kusai Arima dominated the competition and has become famous among child musicians and other stuff. So, his mother and his instructor passes away. He has a mental breakdown whilst performing at piano recital at the age of 11, and then for shock, he loses his ability to hear. Even though his hearing's fine, but he can't hear the piano. It's weird. So 2 years later, he hasn't touched piano, and then he sees the world as a dark, monotone place. And then he has some friends. And then one day, this girl comes along, as they do, Kaori. She's pretty. She's blonde. She's a violinist. And then yeah, he kind of resumes his music loving ways.
I actually quite liked the, even though it was very slice of lifey and a bit eye-rolly at times, I really liked with his character with his mom. His mom was a monster. You know, it's always that kind of like, oh, your mom died and you live out your dreams with your parents. It's like, no, his mom beat him black and blue to play the piano. I was like, oh, wow, because that's like more of a legit thing which parents would do. It's like, because usually when the parent dies, it's usually in the anime like, oh, yeah, like they were the best parent in the whole world, but they were taken from the world. Like that does happen too, but it's like there are parents who are horrible, horrible human beings.
Pushy parents, yep.
What is that? That's not pushy. Beating your child's face with a cane whilst you're in a wheelchair, that's not pushy. That is a monster parent right there.
That is literally child abuse.
Yeah. It is child abuse. So it's like it was in, and he's the reason why he seems like to have all this anxiety with playing the piano is mostly to do with his mum. Even though he may like playing the piano because of the toxicness from his own mother, like pushing him so hard to play it, like he doesn't want to play it anymore. So obviously, I feel like he's going to be, and I guess it's also the idea of like the issue is very strict with how he plays it, so he had to play it a certain way. He could never deviate from it. So, like I like in, even though I'm like, ugh, girl, you're the manic pixie girl in this
Like,
story.
oh, you've come from nowhere to change his life.
Yeah, like pretty much that. Like at least like I was like not super like impressed with the whole thing with the first episode. So I was like I just want to see where she actually plays the violin in the second one. And she's in a competition basically and they have to play the song again and again and again. Like everybody's playing the same song. And then everyone's like, yeah, this is really boring, it's really boring. But when it comes out to, for her song, she's like changed the complete tempo of the song. So it's actually very interesting and the whole crowd are like they're all like, oh my god, this is so great. Like, and they're all like cheering because everybody's just like clap, clap, clap for everybody else. But they're like cheering. But the judges are like, oh, she's messed this up. This isn't how it's meant to be played, even though she played with the most passion. And I guess that's the thing that he keeps on saying, oh, everything's black and white in my world, like a keyboard, piano, like the keyboard of a piano and blah, blah. And it's just like, okay, yeah, okay. But it's like, it's understandable why he's not like, like why he's like, oh, I don't want to play the piano because I feel like the friend's a bit pushy because she's just like, I want you to play the piano for me because I like it when you play the piano, and it's like, if your childhood friend, you must have known something was going on at his house if his face was beaten.
Some people keep it to themselves, though.
Yeah, but you would question it, though. I know,
Oh, what, the
like,
marks, you mean?
yeah, like it's very obvious marks on his face of like where she's bashed him with the cane, and it's like. And she's just like, if you could tell he doesn't want to play it, don't keep enforcing it just for yourself. But it's nice that they're making a flawed character, I guess, as well. Like, who's very selfish, because that's how people are. They're selfish. But yeah, I'm a bit like eye-rolly at the manic pixie fairiness of it all. Like, I'm not a big fan of that. Oh, she came along and brightened his life and changed him for the good.
Cheese.
Yeah.
I will admit there was a scene in the middle that I really enjoyed. It was the bit where the kids started playing music with her.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on?
I know,
It's
but I really liked that. I really thought it
it's
was
turned
cute.
into a Disney film.
Yeah,
Yay!
like, as soon as he found, like, the tights and the shoes, I was like, oh no, she's a manic pixie. And then I saw her, she's standing on the thing, I was like, she is
Manic pixie, okay.
No, that's the actual trope. That's what it's called. That trope of female is a manic, she's a manic pixie. Pixie girl who comes in and, like, change, like, it's so average Joe and my life's all boring or slightly depressing, and then this good whimsical girl comes along with a weird way of thinking and changes it for the good. It's like every, like, a load of films with boring main character males and, like, was it Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, like, him, average Joe, this girl with dyed hair comes along, changes his life for the better, forever. I guess. I roll. So yeah, it's like I liked the music. I really loved the animation for them playing the instruments. Like when he was playing the piano and when she was playing the violin, you could tell they obviously used a lot of reference for that, and it looked
that
really
nice.
That was
really good. That was very, very well animated.
Yeah, like instead of, you know how they just usually do the plap, plap, plap for the hands?
Yeah.
Or they cut away, like, you see the top half of them playing the piano? It's like, no, you actually saw the keys being pressed correctly. And, like, with the violin, all the motions, like, you felt like someone who was playing the violin. Hmm. Like, they didn't have any animation for the other competitors. They were just standing still. So I was like, you can tell they're not main characters because they didn't bother animating these people. But yeah, like, there's, like, elements I liked about the show, but at the same time, I'm, like, a bit eye-rolly because this is going to be like, oh, I know the girl with the short brown hair who wants him to play the piano. She has a crush on him, I think. Mm. And then she's, I don't know if him and the blonde girl are going to get together or something, but she's probably going to get jealous at some point. I don't like her a bit because she threw a baseball at his head.
Oh, God, yeah, at the beginning.
I was like, he's dead. He's actually dead. He has a concussion. Or something. There's blood everywhere. That was terrible.
And then he got up and he's like, oh, it's you. Okay.
Yeah, it was just like, no sorry, no nothing. I don't care if it's your friend. It's like, dude, you almost... That kills people. I watched the film. Like, the whole film was based on this boy killing this woman because he hit a home strike and the ball hit her in the head. And he was depressed throughout the rest of the film. I was like, say sorry. Say something. Please, be a real human being. So she's like super selfish, though. But that's a normal human trait, I guess. Because he was even saying, like, oh, I have to look after her. Because she can't look after herself. Like, he had to write the apology letter for breaking the window, even though he didn't break it. And even his friends, like, don't be super nice. Don't be super nice with her, because people just walk over you. Don't, oh, no, it's just like, that's just how it's been, because we're like childhood friends and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, so I'm hoping that she's not going to do everything for her anymore, and she's going to have to realise she has to grow up too, which will be nice. But yeah, sorry, I really liked a lot of elements of the show, even though I didn't particularly enjoy the show too much. But yeah, how did you guys feel about it?
Yeah, go for it, Alex.
Meh. Yeah, it looked fun at first, and then it just... I think I'm with Oren on the fact that it was just too... cheese. I don't like it. I just don't. It was just, I was like, oh, these instruments and music, this will be fun. Oh, they're really good at doing that. No, boring story. He'll fall in love with her, the other one will get jealous, there'll be a huge love triangle argument, the end.
Yeah, I wonder what's gonna happen with the football friend. Like, is he gonna be, I feel like he should be in the, but he should like the main dude. Yeah.
Love. No, he's gonna fall in love with the blonde.
Yeah, he's already in love with the blonde, so.
Yep.
Ugh. Ugh. Yeah, too much triangle.
Harriet, anything?
I think you've pretty much covered. It is very cliche. The only thing I liked was that music interlude that they had in the middle. Yeah, it is pretty much what Alex said. It's going to be very, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, the end. I don't know, when you brought up the football, I'm thinking, oh yeah, he was in it, wasn't he? I completely forgot about him.
The character,
I completely forgot about him because he was just kind of, oh well.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's been better animes we've watched in the last few weeks, so I'm going to leave this.
I would,
yeah.
I would suggest just watching the bit where she plays, like, let's watch the first half of the second episode.
Okay.
Because, like, well, you don't even have to watch the first half. Just get to the song just before hers and then listen to her song, because the animation of that is really nice. Mm. And the way she reinvents the song is really nice, because I was like, yeah, look at that. That's a way better song than what everybody else was playing. But, yeah. She's all like, oh, I want my music to reach their hearts, kind of nonsense. So it's like, I wonder if my music can reach them. Like, and it's like, oh, and obviously it does, but it's such a cliche thing to say. But yeah, just check out that animation for that, because that bit was really nice. And I think it's going to be very strong throughout the rest of the series. Like, Kids on a Slope was. Like, the animation for that was super good. But I prefer Kids on a Slope, I feel, more than this one.
Well, it had more jazz music in that one as well. Yeah. So you had more, jazz. You know, key things to work with, even if you didn't like the plot.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the second one, which is Trinity 7. Harriet, tell us about it. There's a lot of groaning in this episode, man. A lot of breathing.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me get the synopsis.
Oh, wow.
That's how much.
I swear you watched this before the show, like literally an hour ago.
I did.
We all watched it. It's just none of us could be bothered to recognize what was going on. Something about magic in a book.
Yeah, it's about a boy named Arata who you think his life is seemingly well. He's with his cousin. He's off to school, and suddenly he notices the sun is black, and has no idea why. This girl walks by him and says, "You need to awaken your power, Arata." And he's just like, okay, and just carries on. During the school interlude, his cousin comes up to him and kind of flirts with him. It's kind of, yeah. And he asks her, oh, why is the sun black? And she's like, oh, well, it's always been black. And he's like, no, you're not my cousin. Who are you? Same girl reappears, and it turns out this girl is not her cousin. It's basically a physical embodiment of a book or a grimoire that was given to him, and then you're given a flashback as to what happened a few days earlier. The world was pretty much destroyed by this sun. And it kind of flips a bit, this anime. It's flipping backwards and forwards, but you discover that the cousin gave him the book and said to him, grant him his wish. And the wish he wanted was the world to go back to the way it was. It kind of did. Until the girl with the long hair, basically...
You mean boobs.
The boobs girl, yeah. Or Lilith, that's her name, came and the one who said reawaken your power and basically said, nope, this isn't your world and you have two options. You can either die or you can come with us and forget everything about your cousin. And he's like, nope, I want a third option. I'm going to become a mage like you. And you think... Oh no, it's going to turn into one of these shows again where he's going to be...
A harem.
Do you know the one I thought of? You know the one where the boy went to that all-girl school and he was the only guy in it? That's what I thought of that anime.
It's loads of mangas like that.
That's true, actually, yeah, to be fair. And, yeah, so he's basically training to be a mage, but he discovered that his power... is of the dark magic, so it's basically the same power
Demon
as the
Lord.
Devil. Yeah, as the devil. At the very end, go back a bit, he meets Headmaster and he tells him about these girls who are known as the Seven Deadly Sins. Yeah, I have no clue. I really have no clue about this.
For the last episode.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, that's probably what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. But at the end of this episode, there is one that kind of looks like his cousin, because the grimoire said that his cousin is still alive, but they just don't know where. So it looks like her, but it's not her, if you know what I mean. Yeah, she's literally just no emotion whatsoever. He went to have a bath, she was there, and he's like, you're supposed to freak out, and she's like, you know. I have no clue where this anime is going, and I frankly don't really want to know, because...
the cover art's literally boobs.
Oh, is it?
Mm. Like, when you see, there's the one character, Deadly Sins, who's just got their boobs out. Like, even though there's ones with giant boobs, like, there's this one who's in a bra, and she's got the face of, like, a 5-year-old. like anime 5-year-old, but the body.
Yeah.
I just like, these kids are like 15, and why are we seeing them in their bikinis for?
I'm guessing that's lust.
It was just the pacing of everything was so incorrect. Everything was like, it was just like all of a sudden like, oh, I'm at school. Well, not even at school. First episode opens up with him like having the darkness. Like, I'm in the darkness. I need to grab her hand. This girl who's in the darkness too with me. And it's like he grabs his cousin's boob. And then he's all perverted about it afterwards. And I was like, oh, it's one of these. Right? Like, that's your cousin. That's your blood cousin. Super creepy. I'd be like, I cannot be in the same room as you right now. I'm gonna leave or something. And no, he's just all like, oh, it's got bigger and everything. And then it was like, all of a sudden they're at school, and there was that girl who was like, oh, you should awaken. And he's like, ah, whatevs. And he's like, the black sun. And then all of a sudden it's just like, that girl comes along and is like, I'm gonna become a mage. When, who spoke about being, where, why are there mages in this? I don't know if I blacked out at some point reading the translations, but did she say she was a mage?
Nope.
The girl with the gun? Because how does he know there's mages? Because the wolf was normal, like, literally, like, 3 days ago. So how does he know there's mages? And then all of a sudden they're at school and he's got a school uniform. I'm like, where did you get that school uniform from? Everything was, like, too, like jumping.
Oh, what, you mean sporadic?
Yeah, it was just like, all of a sudden, like, I want to be a mage. No one said anything about mages. How do you know about this magic school? Why are all these girls, like, why are these girls so strong? And then it's like, their powers, because they're more emotional. That's why they have stronger powers than boys. What? What is this weird world we live in? Is this petty excuses for a horror manga? It's just, shit, let's just take everything, every trope we can, and throw it into this one anime. And then stir it up, and then maybe just put it in the oven like for like 10 minutes, even though we need to put it in there like for half an hour. So it's like a half baked anime with a lot of ideas but no substance at all. It was super dumb. It makes, and the animation was so poor at times.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Like, his face kept on squishing and stretching, like his head was really small and then his neck was really long, and then all of a sudden his head was normal and his neck was normal. And then his eye was halfway down his face in some shots. I was just like, oh, this is so bad. And then all the characters were super dumb. Like, they all so cliche design. Like, there's the one who's meant to look like his cousin, the one with the blue hair, the green hair. There's a blonde girl who looks exactly like her.
Yeah, that's the one at the very end.
Yeah, but you're like, I thought that was her. I was getting so confused because so many of the characters.
They all kind of look the same, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, because she has the exact same hair too. I think she has like two springy curl, two antennas coming out her hair or something instead of the one. I was like, this is the loosest character I've ever seen. Oh, it's just so poor. It's a poor, poor show. I don't know if the manga is any better. I don't think it is.
Nope.
But it's stuff that... Oh, it's not.
Fair enough.
Nope. I looked it up.
Makes its contribution. Nope.
Nope. I looked it up and it wasn't any better.
It's just, I'm sick and tired of the high school girls, like the 15-year-olds with the really super short skirts. And like the big giant boobs, because I'm pretty sure not a lot of Japanese people have big giant boobs like that at the age of 15. Because like, not even a lot of girls don't have the biggest boobs when they're 15. Yeah, like there's a lot of girls who get boobs, but they're not that big all the time. Oh, it's just so annoying. And then, he was super creepy throughout the whole thing because he was always like, oh. Yeah, like, I just want girls to react to me being a pervert, pretty much. So that's why he was, like, thrown off by the girl with no emotions. But then that might be his cousin, and he's already grabbed his cousin. I don't understand.
Yeah, in the beginning of the episode, yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
And he makes it sound like it's normal, because he did it before, and he was like, oh, they're bigger.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, Japan, don't marry your cousins.
I think they're a bit incest, aren't they? I'm kind of getting that impression.
Yeah, because there's always stuff about cousins, because she, like, before she disappears into sparkle dust, that cousin, she kisses him, and I'm like, ugh. I'd be like, get off me, don't touch me if that's my cousin. That's grim. So, it's just super creepy. I don't like that. So I don't like this weird brotherly sister thing because she's like calling him brother at times.
Yeah, because it's weird because when they're really close, the cousins, they it's also an Asian South Asian culture, you kind of call yourself brother and sister, and then when they're doing that, and then, you know,
boobage
and kisses, and it's like, whoa, you're kind of crossing that boundary that you're bringing there, but you keep saying it, and you're like, oh, touchy-feely, no?
Yeah, it's like super, like, the bit where he was teasing her about the picture wasn't like, oh, if it just had that without the boob stuff, it was like, yeah, that would have been okay, because, like, I like that kind of, like, teasing stuff because it seems like a natural thing.
Were they trying to be sinister with that? I can't tell.
No, I think he was just being teasy, like, oh, do you know, like, those people have, like, sister complexes, like, oh, I've got the picture of this, of your, like, really crappy drawing on my phone, I'm gonna show everyone, kind of thing. That's the way that teasing kind of felt, but it's like, it didn't feel nice, especially with the boob grabbing before that, because like, oh, like, you're my, like, look how pure you used to be back then and all this kind of cute and innocent. But not anymore, because you have boobs now.
Boobs are a glorious thing. They change things. They're an icebreaker. They're a conversation starter.
No,
they're a great way to put your cup.
No.
Or in Kim Kardashian's case.
Oh, God.
No, stop. Leave her again.
Let's put everything on our butt.
No. Just leave her, let's leave her butt alone.
She put a champagne glass on her butt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Just leave her butt alone. It's a nice butt.
What?
It's a nice
butt. Yes, yes, Facebook and internet, leave her butt alone.
Also, like, as I said earlier to you guys, if it was a guy's butt, no one would give a damn. It'd just be, oh man, that guy's butt. And then a bunch of dudes would be like, oh no, man, that's gay. I can't look at that. And then it's like, because that's how people do on the internet. You're gay.
Squishy man butt.
Well, it's not squishy man butt. It would be a firm man butt. Because most butts, if you don't work out, like, you're not going to have a butt, like, if for real people have butts like her, they work their butts out. They're
true.
Not natural butts.
When they say work out, it does give you a butt because your butt turns into muscle.
Yeah.
Like, if you do cycling, you're going to have the nicest butt ever.
Yeah, no, I've seen, like, before and afters of people who train who have, like, no butt before and then they have, like, butts afterwards. Because it's all muscle. Yeah, butts. But, yeah, let's not make jokes about her butt anymore.
No more.
But... no more. Too much of a man, baby. I can't. I haven't watched Game Grumps since he left because I did enjoy. Like, I really like JonTron as well.
Oh, watch it for Danny. Danny is awesome. He is like 100 times better than JonTron.
Okay.
Seriously. Danny Avedan, his name is, but he's known as Danny Sexbang from Ninja Sex Party.
Danny, let's Google this. Danny Sexbang.
Yeah, this is what the cosplay I did at MCM. My friend was Danny and I was Ninja Brian.
Sorry, it was this Ninja Sex Party you said.
Yeah, it's a band.
It's a very weird looking band on YouTube.
Put it this way, their album, the first album.
Google it, you'll be fine.
It's called Not Safe for Work.
It's come up as Danny Game Grumps.
Yep.
Yeah, same guy.
Yeah. It's just like, I can't. JonTron's stuff is now just like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't. That's his signature, ugh, kind of thing.
Ugh. It's a noise he makes, but it's a noise that I make. So it's like, oh, when I don't like something, I'm like, ugh.
No, but seriously, get back into Game Grumps. Now that he's gone, it's really good. Honestly, start with when his first series. He completed 2 games in 2 weeks. That's more than the Game Grumps did in 2 years. They just generally just chat while they game.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny. What's their latest? Sonic Boom. They got the rights to Sonic Boom. Oh my god. It's so bad, but it's good.
I'll check it out. But yeah, it's like the whole thing. Like, I haven't even met my heroes, but you know where they say don't meet your heroes.
Yeah,
it's
ruins
like,
it for you.
Don't read anything about
anyone. Except Skull, they're epic.
Oh god, yeah.
I know. I'm sure there's some really nice people. It's like, don't even like read stuff about people online because you're like, oh, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, it's so bad.
Yeah, I've heard things about people who I want to meet, and I'm like, please don't tell me that.
Oh, Harriet, I want to destroy your image of a certain voice actor you love after the show. Let's keep it private.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
A little joke there. No one will ever know.
Edward Elric.
Actually, yeah, I've probably told loads of people about this, but yeah.
Oh, if it's who I think it is, he's not my favourite. Dan Green is my favourite voice actor.
Is he a brother?
No! No, my surname's Green with an E, his is without, but that's his other name. He has, he goes by another name, Dan Green? I can't remember it now.
Oh yeah, when they have two aliases because they're doing something illegal.
I think it's JD something. Because he's a producer as well as a
Dan
voice actor.
Green, also known as Jay Snyder.
That's the one. That's the one, yep. And Yu-Gi-Oh's out next week, season one!
Oh, is that who he is?
Yeah, that's Yamayugi,
yes?
And Yugi, yep.
Oh, okay. And he's the voice of Knuckles! Does Knuckles talk?
Yeah. Lord, why is he... Why was he voice all my childhood crushes? This does not help.
Had you not, though? He was in Sonic X as Knuckles.
Sonic X!
He was so funny in that. He really, really was really funny in that. he's not in the newer games, though. I think they stopped after... Oh, God. Not Sonic Boom. The Lost World or something like that? That was the last one that came out on the Wii U. That's when they stopped having... I mean, Sonic's voice in Lost World is much deeper.
Hello there, baby.
Yeah, pretty much that. And they made Knuckles dumb.
Oh, they made him ghetto.
It's really bad. I mean, I can get over how big he's got. That's fine. That took a while, but I'm fine with that now. But there was a bit at the beginning when I was watching it on Game Grumps, Sonic said to him and Amy, right, you split left, and he held out his hands, and he's just going, there's left. Okay.
Aww.
And I'm like,
I can't remember his voice, because I watched the other Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle recent horrible film, because they made, like, Raph super big in it.
Have you seen the movie? Have you
I saw the movie, but they made Raph, like, super, super bulky. Voice.
I can't actually myself to watch the movie.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because
it's terrible.
I am a massive Teenage Mutant, ever since they
it's
began.
It's good if you like action, but I've been told...
Oh, no, no. It's terrible.
We did it Michael Bay, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The storytelling... The storytelling is terrible. Like, the pacing of that film, like, at least, like, Transformers 1 was, like, goofy fun. Transformers 2, Transformers 3, but it was, like, in this one, it was, like, the storytelling was bad. There's, like, not a lot of fighting.
Was it even funny?
No. There's, like,
that sucks.
Mikey was super creepy with April.
Really?
Like, yeah, you and Mikey's just like, I'm...
Kind of a love affair in the whole original
And it's not canon, because it's Donnie and April.
Yeah. But it's like with that one, he was all like, when he saw it, like, oh, my shell's tightening. And it's like,
I'm gonna throw up everywhere. What did you just say? What are you, some creepy, leering old man on the street? I'm so... And he was like constantly like calling her like my girl and all this kind of stuff.
And it was like, this is a super cringy, like, this is what boys like, right? This is how boys act, right? I understand what teenage boys do. Oh, it's so bad. But no, my actual point was... that because he was all built like bulky, I was speaking with my boyfriend today about the new Sonic there's new Sonic cartoon, and because Knuckles is all bulky as well, it's like are you trying to imply that he's meant to be flat?
from the art poster, which everyone was like, oh my god, what is this? Think everyone kind of felt they were stereotyping each character now.
Yeah.
And that was the obvious one for Knuckles, because it looked like he had what do you call it? The hair, what's it called? Dreadlocks.
So it's a bit like, oh no, you guys, and all black people have the same body shape. But I watched the first episode. It was
I heard it was okay. I haven't seen it. It is based on the games. It's Sonic Boom, so
If it was the episode where Tails gets hurt and Sonic wants to have a new partner, new Sonic.
Oh, is it this kind of? Oh no!
You're replaced, bitch.
Well, no, it's like having tryouts for people.
Oh,
no. It's like Tom Cruise auditioning for a wife.
But yeah, no, it was.
Sorry, Katie Holmes.
It was super dumb, but I was like, whatever. The animation was the backgrounds were not so good, but it was a cartoon. We should probably talk about some anime.
On the plus side, I know who Greg Ayers is now.
Oh, Greg Ayers,
Yeah, he did a few voices from some of my animes that I actually like, so yeah.
Constantly sounds like a 12-year-old.
He sounds really young, yeah, that's what I was going to say, he doesn't look it, look at him!
And I so loved the interview on the... Chrono Cross. Chrono Cross? Chrono.
Crusade.
when they were talking to him and how hard it was for him to do the adult voice.
Yes, I remember that because there was two versions of Chrono. Yeah, I remember because his voice is a little bit higher, a little bit lower than the small Chronos, but when he was adult Chronos, that was pretty deep.
I think he actually did his throat trying to do all the yelling in the deep voice. It's like, oh my god, how the hell?
Oh my god. Speaking of people doing their voices, have you ever seen any of the guys from Dragon Ball Z do the screams?
I've seen this.
Oh, no.
Well, not the video, but I've seen it popping around.
It's
destroying.
Yeah, it's I think Sean Schimmel famously said he actually collapsed once after doing Kamehameha.
Oh,
geez. Yeah, the latest DVD that's out, Battle of Gods, there is a behind the scenes, and there's a scene where he's fighting the main guy. It is on YouTube somewhere. Don't look on Funimation because we can't actually view it because it's in America, but there is someone who has uploaded the clip of behind the scenes of them before they fight, and then at the very end he gives out this almighty scream and you just see the veins popping out of his
gross
neck. Pretty much. And the other guy as well, he's screaming as well, and you just think, my gosh. Then again, it takes about 10 episodes for them to actually start battling anyway, so
it's probably way past out that Kamehameha probably takes him a whole season to say. Jesus.
Yeah, I wonder how long they get to recover.
Not very long. I've seen the process of people voice acting. They literally do it again.
Just
literally
different versions, yeah. Like slightly higher, slightly lower, more of a pause, hold that word a little bit longer.
Exactly.
Sometimes they have to do it to the actual animation graphics, you know, the actual flaps moving about.
Yeah, and the thing is, they don't know what anyone else has said. So
it's all separate. Done separately.
I think there's some stuff where they record in the same room, but that seems to be more like for Western animation.
Yeah, they did it for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the one that 4Kids produced. I remember they all were together when they did that, and the new one as well.
I remember in Chowder, they were all in the same room.
Oh, Chowder! I remember that.
They made that one episode where they ran out of money or something for the animation, so they had to do a car wash, and it was the actual voice actors. They were like, oh no, like, we need to get some money. And they actually went and did a car wash, and then they put a check in the post, and they're like, there, and the animation was back. I mean, they did that in Earthworm Jim too, but the whole thing went like black and white pencil to like nothing. But yeah, I like that kind of stuff. It's a lot more fun.
Self-aware.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's nice. I feel like probably if you're in the same room as the voice actor, you can like feel their emotions and everything. So your performance maybe, I don't know, it might depend on voice actor. Because like, some people might be better when they're with people and some people might be better without.
Well, because there's the tempting urge to just laugh your heads off and just ruin the script.
Yeah, pretty much you set up the fall for them and you're like, come on, I'm trying to do my work here, seriously. You've done your bit.
It seems fun. Voice acting seems pretty rad.
Yeah, I'd love to. That's one of the dreams I had, was to be a voice actor, but because unfortunately I have nasal problems, as you can hear, it's not probably an ideal thing for me to do. So
also, they recommend you move to America.
Yeah,
I asked that question to Spike Spencer, and he was like, "Well, you're not in America, sweetie. It's gonna be pretty hard because they're gonna ask you to audition, and you can send your tape over. When you record, you're gonna have to come here." And it's like, "Oh, okay."
And I think you have to have a background in acting as well.
Yep.
I mean, it would help, but no, you don't have to. Really? We spoke to Trina she was Mikasa from Attack on Titan. And she actually used to work in a bar. And then her friend just went to her going, "Hey, so you looking to change your career?" She was like, "God, yes, get me out of here." And he was like, "Well, we're looking for like voice actors. Do you want to try out for this anime?" And she was like, "Okay." And then she became a voice actor.
Wow, that's...
And she did one of the, you know, most important roles in Attack on Titan.
And one of the biggest animes of 2013. 14, 13, whatever. Yep. I forgot
so,
what
the
came out.
So you don't have to necessarily have a background. There are a lot of actors that felt they couldn't get very far and then found their calling in voice acting.
Yeah.
Actually, go back.
But then you find a lot of voice actors that do singing, have their own band, or are still acting, or little bits and bobs, you know.
I can give a good
one
of
those things.
Of
it's
that.
Not stable work. Remember something. You're in a contract, but that contract goes for renewal every year.
Eric Stewart now, the voice actor of Brock from Pokemon, he has
and
a band.
James.
And James and Kyber. He runs a band, so that's what he does.
That's what they do.
Yeah. I know the voice. One of the voice actresses from My Little Pony is a singer as well.
Tara Strong?
No, the one who does Rainbow Dash and Applejack. These names I have to remember.
I can't think of who they're voiced by. If David was here, he'd probably tell me straight away.
I watched, like, I was having a little look at the documentary. I didn't watch it all.
You watched it? Oh.
No, not all of it. I've watched the other one, and that one seemed like very propagandary because it wasn't a very fair documentary, I feel. But it's like, yeah, there's some positive stuff of it, but it's like, this feels like everything's great. but it was another one which came out 2014.
Oh,
it was on Netflix. Oh. I can't remember, but yeah, it's about the voice actress learning about bronies and stuff.
Okay.
And she's in, like, she's got her own music and everything.
Cool.
And her own band, and her band is like, it's weird. Bronies are weird, but it's great that people are doing their own thing. So there's like at least anyone that's like, who are these people? But yeah, it was voice acting's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've just thought of two more things. Greg Ayers is a DJ.
Oh, wow.
Outside. And Dan Green still does he's a producer.
Okay.
So if he doesn't do the voice acting, which he hasn't done now in a long time, I think he's kind of gone back to directing.
A lot of them do that, like Colleen Clickenbeard, what's her name? She did One Piece, Luffy, that's the one.
Yeah.
She does producing. She's like almost retired from voice acting, you know. But most of them are. Mike, what did he do voices for? Most notably for me, he did Ritsu from Fruits Basket. And then he basically directed Fullmetal Alchemist and produced it. And
oh, I know who you mean. I thought
something. Was it Mike Farlane? Or I don't want to confuse it with
Mike
one.
Mike Farlane, that's...
yeah, I don't want to confuse it with that one. But his name's Mike, yeah. But there are loads that just like, yeah, we voice act and we produce, we make money, it's great. It's what you do. And Alex, what have you done recently? You went on holiday. What did you do?
Yeah, I went on holiday and went down a well.
Okay. What?
The ring.
Actually, I went down a well. Two wells, actually.
Oh.
Well.
Why did you go down there?
It was part of the place we were going to. They've got there was two wells.
Are they really big?
They're huge. Yeah, it's like a creepy fantasy game kind of thing. You go down and there's spiral stairs.
Oh, whoa.
Inside them. One was like really badly made, so it was creepy, and then the other one's got like Roman style pillars while you're walking down.
Oh, whoa.
And it was awesome.
Where was it?
I can't remember the name of the place. Sorry.
Is it in England?
No. Somewhere in Europe. I got taken there and I can't remember the name. I got dragged a lot of places. I got dragged a lot of places in different places. And I was
when
just
you
like,
say taken, okay. Were you blindfolded?
No, I started somewhere and then it was like, hi friends, we're going on a trip. Okay, where to? Wherever we bloody well want. Okay, that's fine.
Euro okay. Trip.
It kind of was, yeah, but we didn't go that far. But yeah, it was fun. I didn't get kidnapped, thank God.
Awkward.
But on the plus side, we had two more concerts this week.
Oh yeah.
I said like Alex, don't kill me, but I did say you kind of shed a tear during answers. But there's nothing wrong.
Damn it! You said it again as well.
Woman. I wish they played Aerith's theme now. Just
oh God!
Oh don't! I cried. I'll give you one bit. I cried at Video Games Live. There you go. I cried twice when the Kingdom Hearts melody came on medley. Oh, what was the other one? I think it was Journey. I cried as well.
Journey's
that's people though.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Is everyone crying while people play the music?
That's the power of music. What? In games.
I guess it's super, like, there's certain songs which can trigger off tears, because, like, with gaming, I feel like music is, like, at least, like, it's half the experience. If there's no sound, sometimes, like, you lose a lot of the emotional keys. Especially like, oh, this character dies with this music. Oh God, the emotions resurface whenever this happens. Whenever I hear this song, so yeah, I can understand it. It's like some music where it's not game music, but I'm like, oh my God, I got the goosebumps. I can't. Pretty oh, much. Yeah, you get super emotional. So yeah,
I don't know. I get emotional when I see like people die.
Yeah.
And animals die. Music, no. No, I think I've got a, what would you call it? A thick skin now.
Yeah. Desensitized.
I will admit, when I first heard Answers, the first time, when it was the first concert, I did cry. Because that was just like the first time I had ever heard it, and it was just so powerful.
I've never seen you next to you in a concert, Harriet. Ever sitting next to you in a concert. Or Alex, either. I bet she's a proper wailer.
No, I was fine. Harriet was sitting behind me, technically.
Yeah, kind of. We were side to side, but we could swivel the chairs. Yeah,
so,
okay.
Obviously, if it was the other way around, Harriet wouldn't have noticed.
Do you know what didn't help? The light was shining on you, so that's how I could tell.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, the light caught the tear.
Have no shame,
the
have no shame on that, because, you know, it's a beautiful song, and in the end, I was just like...
Metal Alchemist moment.
Yeah, it was just, I was singing along in the end as well.
It's just raining!
Oh, God!
I'm not crying, it's raining. In a building.
Well, I think, going back to the concerts, Baby Metal, last Saturday, a lot of people were crying because they debuted a brand new song.
Oh, cool.
Which has, I was reading the bass guitarist, he wrote a really big report about London and New York, but it was so nice. He said, oh, I can't believe how many fans, and because it was pouring down of rain outside as well. He said, I hope the fans didn't get colds because, you know, they were waiting to see us. And he said he couldn't get over, first of all, the amount of people taking photos in the concert because you're not allowed to in Japan.
Oh, okay.
But you weren't supposed to in England either.
No, but I did.
Yeah, we took quite a few at distance.
How
are they going to stop you?
They actually did.
The first Baby Metal we went to, Sakura were actually coming up to you and threatening to take your camera.
Oh, weird.
I was lucky because
upstairs and downstairs. Yeah.
At Baby Metal, I was sat right, I mean literally right at the top. And I was literally one seat away from the back of the hall upstairs. But I had super zoom on my camera and I kind of hid it like Alex did with her. She like put it literally next to her chest so no one could see.
Yeah, you couldn't see the light coming from it.
No, this is true. But there was loads of security down like the first few aisles stopping people recording, but they were still doing it.
Yeah, I was watching and the camera was moving with me. It was great. Loads of blurred photos and Spooner being ejected from the scene. That was great.
I had many photos I got rid of. I took 300 in all, but I had to delete 200 because they were like blurred or people were in my way because there was loads of people like going, whoa, with their hands up in the air, and I'm like, put them down.
Ruining my photos.
It's like the banner saying, put your hands up. I'm like, put them down. But, yeah, they debuted a new song and the guy basically said, I couldn't get over how many people were crying because we played a new song. And it was actually really good. It's called The One.
Hmm.
And it kind of had a Dragon Force influence to it. And then when we read up about it afterwards, the guy who's the lead singer of Dragon Force, they actually did a collaboration for this song.
Ah.
So that's the reason why.
That's really cool.
Why we see selfies with Baby Metal and Dragon Force.
Yeah. but no, Baby Metal were really good. Now, I couldn't see a thing from where we were, so I couldn't see the mosh pit down below. Oh boy. I left David and my friends to... They were downstairs, so I sat upstairs with another friend. So we could only get seats at the back. That was literally all there was. So was like, okay, we can just about see. I had the camera out. I'm like, okay, just take
God,
photos.
Harry, you should have moshed. What's wrong with you?
Nope. I could just about manage Expo. So moshing is not my thing. But yeah, when I came out afterwards and I saw David, oh my God, Jesus Christ. He was literally just a bucket of sweat.
Black and blue, probably after as well.
Funnily enough, he did have a scratch coming down the right-hand side of his eye.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Starting from
but that's not the moshing. Explain the story properly, Harriet.
I don't know. He honestly doesn't know how this happened. He literally has no clue whatsoever. Yeah, he was moshing. I think it was during the Wall of Death, or it could have been before. And they were kind of swaying from side to side, and he fell backwards, and two people fell on top of him.
Oh, jeez.
Someone landed on his chest, and the other one landed just above his neck.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. You didn't tell this version of the story. You told me it happened at the merchandise desk.
Huh?
You told me it happened at the merchandise desk.
No. This was in the hall.
I assumed everyone was fighting over t-shirts.
Oh, believe me. That crowd last night was... Baby Metal was timid compared to last
night.
Last night
was not Baby Metal, it was Perfume.
Oh, no. But, yeah, I'll go on to that now in a sec. But, yeah, I saw him afterwards. Like, David, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I think I am. You know, like you were in a state of euphoria kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he had a scratch literally starting from the top of his forehead. And it just like, the corner of his eye.
Oh, jeez.
They have no clue how this happened. I don't know if it was from the fall or... He had a kitsune mask as well, so he's not sure if that did it, but yeah.
It's cursed.
But then he said to me after, he was taking the mick out of me all night saying, are you like Aisha, you're going to join me in the mosh pit? You're going to mosh with me? And I'm like, nope. I'm going to stay upstairs and be a chicken and be comfortable. And then we were at the train station afterwards and he said, you know what? You were right to sit upstairs. And even then, last night, Perfume was on.
Yeah.
Been to their concert before. Now, I will admit, I don't know most of their songs. I only know a couple, and the most notable one is Monochrome Effect that was shown in American Dad. In one of the episodes, I think they described it as, oh, it's this weird Japanese pop music that's taken over the world. And they start singing it, and then Francine just slowly starts bopping along with it. They didn't play that last night, though, which is a shame. Aisha, you were there as well. What did you think of the concert?
I was well happy because they played all the songs I actually know. It was fantastic. They played that slightly... What is it? Is it Cling Cling? I love Cling Cling.
Yeah,
cling,
I got the...
Cling! I actually... Kind of racist. Cling Cling.
I
kind of racist.
I got the CD for that.
Huh?
I got the CD.
Yeah, it was funny because when I went to Japan recently, they had a special exhibit in Tower Records, Perfume. It was an anniversary. So I took loads of pictures and they had some original shots from the videos from Cling Cling and other things. And they had their outfits as well, the Chinese dresses. So I was like, oh, memories! They had a lot of outfit changes, didn't they? They had like a kind of a metallic... a pink dress, then it turned into some kind of crazy 60s flower print dress. Mm. Then it was a poo brown dress, and then covered a mint green dress, which I kind of saw happening because it was so shapeless, that brown dress. Anyway,
oh, I couldn't see it from upstairs. You were downstairs.
Oh,
upstairs.
I was like right at the front. Like, I ended up seeing so many people I knew, and I was like, where are you guys at the back? Where are you guys at the back upstairs? Where are you guys in the back corner? Oh, I'm at the front. See ya. actually fantastic. I didn't have a good enough camera, but our friend Malcolm from Play Nation, he was quite the side back, but he got some awesome pictures on DSLR. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
So he took loads of good pictures. But to be honest, it depends on the concert, right? Obviously, loads of the songs I liked. It was really good. Like, they put a lot of effort into the background animations and the lasers. Yeah.
They did that in their
last
concert.
So you were actually really watching the detail of them dancing and the background. It was all in sync. So I wasn't too bothered about pictures. I was more like, yay! And then they stopped halfway through. That was brilliant.
Oh, they're talking. Halfway through,
like, yeah, so like, let's talk to you about London.
We
can't speak English, so you can you translate? Hi, my name's Midas.
We could not.
Why does
literally...
Chad vote for me? Ah, so it's really sunny in the UK. I was like, what? Yes, it's really sunny. It is blinding me.
Yeah, we need
what
visors.
What part of the UK are you in? Oh, we need more visors. Your visors are very small in the UK. And we were like, what the hell is a visor? Oh, the visor in a cot, very small. We have big ones in Japan. So I'm sitting there going, yeah, that was totally not a phallic symbol. And then the best bit, Harriet, was, oh God. When they were like, what are you... Where really like Pret-a-Manger? Have you been to Pret-a-Manger?
Oh yeah.
Like, can you give us recommendations?
And someone shouted out, Nando's!
Is that a good cafe for coffee? Nando's!
Oh my god.
I'm back going, oh.
There was like a group behind
I'm like
us.
Middle around, and I was just like, oh my god, Nando's. Yeah, so I want to see pictures on Perfume's page of them going to Nando's. Serious.
There was like a group
of... didn't know what Pret-a-Manger was. I was like baffled by all of this.
We had like a group of guys behind us.
But it was cool because they were having conversations. Obviously, they had that dude in they randomly selected in the crowd to translate.
Oh, yeah.
Who couldn't speak very well either, which was ironic. And so they're having this really, really awkward conversation. And one girl, she just, because she couldn't, she was like, I'm trying to say something, but I can't think what to say. And then she's like, hee hee hee. And then everyone's like, oh, orgasm, because she had the cutest laugh. So she's going, hee hee. And it was like, oh, this is like stalling. This is so stalling. Say something. Say something of relevance. I can't remember. What else small talk? They just chatted on about it being sunny for ages and ages. I thought it's never going to end.
They did speak in Japanese, and there was a lot of Japanese people in front of...
That's the whole point. When they spoke Japanese, no one translated it in English. So we're like, yeah. They were like, if you speak English... cheer for us, yay! And then they said something in Japanese, and then the same people just went, yay! And it was like, what do you think about this in Japanese? Yay! What do you think about that? Yay! You know, I mean, apparently though, I was saying that there was a separate queue for the Perfume fan club, so they had a whole bunch of Japanese groupies there, but they were at the back. I was in front of them. Sorry. Just ironic hilarity going on here. That was probably one of the best I've been to. And the great thing is, no queue. The most organized queue of my life. Brilliant. Apparently there were standing seats. Is that true?
Yes, there was.
There were? Okay, yeah. There were standing seats. Right, fine.
That's where the Japanese people were. They were the ones who... Because there was a few Japanese people in front of us and behind us, so when they spoke in Japanese, they understood, and they were laughing. I'm just thinking, what did they say? You know, I want to be in the joke. What did they say? But
that didn't translate. No. For the songs, whenever they... There were some songs they sang in Japanese, and then they had the English translation on the back. Only, like, a few songs. But I thought they might have done something, or someone come on... I don't know. I thought they would have done something, but it just seemed like that was completely improv. That's my opinion, anyway. You could not script what they were talking about.
No.
We're talking about visors for like 10 minutes. Oh my god.
The visors are meant to be, you know, those kind of things which are like baseball caps, but they don't have the top part of them.
Oh, I know those kind of visors.
She was talking about
it.
She was talking about the, you know, it comes down in the car?
You mean the flap things from the car? Okay.
Visors, so people confused, and then they were talking about it in the car, and we were like, ah, okay, cool.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, it was really nice. They did a couple of covers. They did Let Go, Frozen.
Oh, don't. I literally had my head in my hands at that point thinking, oh, God, no, I got rid of this song in my head and it's back in there.
It was great. It was only for, like, 10 seconds, Harriet. 10 seconds.
Ten seconds is too much.
Nope. I don't even know why they did it, but no. It was planned, obviously, because they had a background to turn up.
Yeah, that's true. I will admit, at the end, I do sing the last bit, and I'm just like, okay, next.
they put... what's up with those shoes? They wore the same shoes for the whole thing. Is that a signature thing?
Yeah, it is a signature thing, but they could dance in them. Bloody hell.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying!
I wish I could dance in them.
They were, like, wearing office shoes with considerable high heels, and they were, like... They weren't... That's the thing, though. That's the thing I liked about Perfume. They're not over-sexualized. Mm. They're, like, you know, sophisticated. Mm.
But, yeah, I didn't mind their concert. I will admit, I'm not a massive fan of theirs, but their light show was really good from upstairs. And there was a
as well.
Yes, and there was a bit, I don't know if you saw it, but at the side of the stage, where at the bottom, their shadows, the way they stood, it was literally as if they were stood one behind each other. It was very clever how they did the lighting on that. Oh, I felt so lost with my, without my camera. I really did, because I brought my camera specially to take photos of it, and then literally there was a few people in front of me had their camera phones out, and within seconds, boom, security. No, you can't stop. You have to stop that. And I'm like,
oh. If you were downstairs, no one was going to say shit to you.
No, I know, but I think
everyone was taking photos downstairs. Everyone.
I doubt I would have got a good shot, because with everyone jumping, we could see people from up top literally just like bouncing up and down, so I wouldn't have had no chance whatsoever.
It was, I think most of the people in the middle were standing, and then everyone on the sides was kind of up and down, but I think very rarely, unless you were that boyfriend who brought your girlfriend there, you were sitting down. But most people were there. I mean, I don't know. Do you think it was fair that they had a sitting down concert?
I don't know.
I think a lot of people complained that they wanted to stand up or they didn't want to have to pay for a seat. And I was a bit like, actually, I kind of didn't mind that, because it just meant I got to have a break, sit down once in a while. Like when they were talking, I was like, I'm totally sitting down for this.
there were a few people stood up upstairs, but there was a girl right at the front, and she stood right in front of us at the bottom. We were like two rows away from it, and literally just blocked us seeing the girls, and that was it. I was just like, okay, I'll just listen to the music then instead. I know David loved it. He got a few bits. I got a couple of the CDs. I got the one you mentioned and one of their albums. David got the DVD and I think a shirt. I'm not sure, but loads of people got the scarves.
Oh god, no, the towels. There was
Oh yeah, towels.
I was just sitting there going, it's Japan. It is that wonder from Japan. They have an obsession with towels.
I have a
Japan, they have actual claw machines for towels.
Really?
Yes. Oh wow. They have towels everywhere, and they're really like well-made towels. I was just sitting there going, oh my god, these towels, where are these towels coming from? But I didn't know you could buy inside it, because the queue for the merchandise was just hilarious. I was like, hey Harriet, let's talk at the merch desk. I was standing there for like 20 minutes. We didn't move.
No, but
we did not move. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go now, so have fun in that queue, bye.
We went upstairs, and there was
no
one upstairs.
We all gave up at that point.
We went upstairs, like, and I went in and sat down, and David went to get his stuff. And then what I did was, kind of towards the end, I snuck out and I just bought my CDs then, because I knew it'd be a manic by the time
it
would be finished.
Was it empty though when you went?
Oh god, yeah. I said to the guy, I'm coming out early so that I can get this, and he said, yeah, you did the right thing. And then I just quickly ran back inside. I think it was towards the end of the second last song. And then just carried on.
And we've come to the end of the show. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Cheerio.
Let's talk about poop this time.
Ugh, gross.
But